Friday, I was out mowing the yard. And if you've ever been to our house, we have almost 3 acres. There's a lot of grass. And I liked, I'm some people have asked me, before in the past, why don't you get somebody to cut your grass? Well, personally, I like cutting grass. You know, I like sitting on this 54-inch Kubota and zero turn and driving around cutting my grass. I just feel more manly that way. And, this massive lawnmower, cutting this almost 3 acres of land. And so I love cutting grass. I just like to. And so I'd been outside, it's been rather humid this week, so I'm cutting grass and I'm sweating, and I walk into the house, and let me just say this first: Jeannie and I very seldom watch any live TV anymore. Very seldom. Everything we watch is recorded or something, an old show or something like that. Any of my Andy Griffith people here? Come on. We've watched Full House before. We watched through that. We've been still watching Reba and, the Reba McEntire thing and her family, Reba. We've watched Star Trek Voyager. Any Trekkies here? Any other Trekkies here? Come on. Yeah, thank you. Yep, live long and prosper, my friends. You're my brothers and sisters. Yep. And so we do those things. And so I'm outside cutting grass. I'm just dripping in sweat. And I walk in the house. And Jeannie's, and she's in the kitchen doing something. And we're going to have a few friends over Friday evening. She's in the kitchen. And she's like, guess what? I started a new series. And I said, what'd you start? She said, Fuller House. Well, we've already watched it through 2 or 3 times, to Fuller House. And I'm headed to the back door. I'd come through the garage and headed to my back door, and I'm almost out the door, and I almost said something. It was right there on the tip of my tongue. It was there. I almost said it. And I pulled it back. And she's like, yeah, I'm watching Fuller House. And I almost said this: I just wish you'd clean the house. The people in the first service laughed. Y'all were like, oh, y'all are more serious. Oh. And by the way, she had already cleaned the house, and it looked great. I was just going to be joking with her. But then I said to myself, I better not say that, because I might be using us as a sermon illustration today, because today I'm talking about conflict. I'm ending this series on Together at the Table, talking about conflict and how we need to overcome conflict and how we can go from conflict to peace. Now, and why are you even talking about conflict? Okay, I just want to ask you a question. Is there anybody in this room that's never had any conflict in their life? Paul, you are lying. I know better. I know you, Paul. You've never had any conflict. Well, we all have had conflict. How many of you have had conflict that didn't go so well? Both hands. Didn't go so well. The purpose of closing this series out Together at the Table on relationships is because more relationships are harmed than what we realize through conflict, because of conflict in our life. And we don't handle the conflict properly, because conflict is going to happen. So this is going to sound a little bit practical as well as spiritual, my friends, because for us to be to fulfill everything that God's called us to do in life, and you've heard me say it over and over again, it takes relationships. It's not, and every part of life, I've never figured it out. I don't think we'll ever figure it out till heaven, okay? At one point, all it took was Moses as one lifting his staff in the Red Sea parting, okay? One guy lifting his staff. And then at another point, Stacy brought it out today, at another point, Joshua was fighting a battle down in the valley, and Moses had to have two guys lifting his arms. That while he's lifting his arms, Joshua was winning the battle, and when his arms fall, they start losing. At one point, Moses is saying, yep, man, me and God's doing this together. And then at another point, it's like God saying you need relationships in your life as well. You need those people in your life lifting up your arms. And so it's not either or, it's both that we need in our life. Yes, it's you and God and what he's called you to do, but it's also the relationships that God's put into your life that you need that in your life to get to where God wants you to be, to accomplish God's plan and purpose for your life. You need those relationships as well. And that's why we're talking about conflict and overcoming conflict and going from conflict to peace, all right? Instead of going from conflict to conflict to conflict to conflict and letting it build up in your life, and all you have is this trail of nothing but shattered relationships in your life behind you. When God wants you to have healthy relationships in your life. And so we're going to talk about overcoming conflict. And look at your neighbor and say, get ready, because this is really good, you know. In fact, Paul wrote, in Philippians chapter 4, he's writing to the church there, in verses 2 through 3, he says, now I appeal to you, Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord. Now, these two ladies are believers, and this isn't about gender. This is about the situation. It just happened to be two women here. He said, settle your disagreement. What is he saying? Settle your conflict. Paul's writing to the church and he says, settle your conflict. And it goes on further to say this, and I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. So obviously they were part of the team that Paul had, planting churches and going and spreading the gospel. Yet somewhere down the line, these two ladies got into some kind of a disagreement that was causing apparently a lengthy conflict, because Paul's having to write to them. I mean, word got back to Paul somehow that, hey, there's a conflict going on here. And so he writes a letter and says, hey, help these two people overcome and resolve their conflict, because it's causing dissension. He says, and I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. So Paul is saying, hey, look, everybody, he's saying the people involved in this conflict, you know what? They're believers. They're Christians. And I want to say that every part of this message can apply to you in your home, especially with your spouse, with your kids. And anybody had any conflict in their home? Nobody? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Conflict in your home? Yeah, thank you, young man. Thank you for your honesty there. Wow. I mean, that's just funny. Landry's over here. That's Landry, yeah. He's like, oh, we've had conflict, yeah. He's telling her dad. Yeah. Oh. Lord, in Jesus' name, touch her. Touch Kinley in Jesus' name. Lord, heal her. Help, that scared her, didn't it? Wow. Touch and heal her, Father. Thank you. Thank you. No hurts, no bruises, nothing like that. Wow. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, mom and dad are going to go comfort and love. And no one on media now. It's okay. Look at Paul. There he goes. Wow. I didn't know you could do media. Wow. There are some things you shouldn't do, because now everybody knows you can do. It's like when people see, because I like to paint. Now, I don't like to build things or nothing. I like to paint. I like to take something old and paint it. And when they find out, hey, you do a pretty good job with that, I said, do not tell anybody I do that. You know, Paul, you messed up. But thank you anyway for stepping up. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, is saying, hey, ladies, get this thing worked out. And you folks in the church, help them get this conflict worked out. Because here's what he knows, because it goes back to the very first message in this series. Here's what Paul knows, is that conflict, if not careful, will lead to destruction, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. And how does he do it? Well, he does it through division. And how does he cause division? Through offenses, little offenses. So apparently, these two women are probably offended at one another about something. And so Paul's saying, listen, ladies, let's get this thing worked out. get this disagreement worked out among you, all right? Settle your disagreement before your differences are causing dissension in the church. It's not about, please hear me, folks. It's not about spiritual maturity or anything like that. It's just about getting your conflict settled. Because here's what Paul said. All your names are written in the book of life. All of them are written in the book of life. It's about getting it settled. You know? And so we're going to be talking about that, how you can resolve conflict in your life. Conflict will put you usually in one of two places. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." Now, tell me, who is Paul writing to in this passage? Okay, let me simplify it. Maybe I'll get an answer. Christians or non-Christians? It's okay to talk in church. Christians or non-Christians? He's writing to Christians. He's saying your salvation is sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's writing to believers. He said, and then he goes on to say, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." And you see, here's what will happen with conflict if it's not resolved. You'll either end up in a place of bitter rage, anger, slandering someone, or you end up in the place where you can be tenderhearted, loving, and forgiving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Through conflict, you can end up at one or two of these places in your life. Whether I'm just angry, I'm just slandering, I'm saying things I shouldn't say about somebody else, or either I'm just being kind, I'm being tenderhearted. I'm almost jumped ahead to almost my last point, but I won't. See, and how can I go from conflict to peace? So I'm going to help you real quick. You might want to write some of these down, because I'm certain if you're going to live beyond the day, it's possible you could have conflict somewhere. And so how, especially in a marriage and in relationships, people that we're close to, most often, sometimes our greatest conflict is with the people we love the most. It happens sometimes. And then there's division and it's not healthy. And so how can I still be together at the table with those I have conflict with? And notice today, if you've been here throughout this series, I used a much bigger table, right? And today I brought this one up here, and here's why I brought this one up here, is that if you don't handle conflict and resolve conflict, I've noticed that your table together with others becomes a lot smaller than larger. And I just want to ask you one simple question, and be honest with you, be honest with yourself. Is everybody in your life people that just agree with you? Because I promise you, if that's what it is, your table is really small. It's really small. And God wants your table to be big. He wants together at the table, relationships, healthy. Conflict, overcoming conflict. So how do you do it? Number one, if you're going to overcome conflict and go from conflict to peace, it's confront the conflict in your life. Confront the conflict. Wow, I've looked at Matthew chapter 5, 23 through 24 already, and in a couple of these messages, so I'm not going to go and read it all, but it talks about leaving your gift at the altar. Go to that person that you know that has an offense with you and reconcile with that, make it right, and then come back and offer your gift to God. And so we know that. Confront the conflict, all right, in your life. You know there's conflict somewhere. And Matthew 5, 25 says it this way: settle your differences quickly. Settle them quickly. Because why? Because if you don't settle your differences quickly, here's what happened. It festers. It will fester. Your conflict will fester inside of you if you don't settle it quickly. And did you know some conflict is nothing more than a need to communicate? The need to communicate with other people. Conflict unresolved in our life leads to strife. it leads to strife, all right? And Proverbs 17 and 14 says this, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Everybody say it, stop contention. Stop contention. Quickly confront. Stop contention before a quarrel starts. The beginning of strife is like a releasing water. Is the longer the conflict is, the longer you don't confront it, the longer you let it rest out there, it will become strife in your heart. And did you know in the Bible strife is forbidden? It'll become strife, and we have to confront. So we need to confront the conflict. Now, for all of us mild mannered, don't like conflict people, that can be tough. And some people will have conflict at the drop of the hat, and they'll drop the hat. You know? They don't mind it. I mean, my daughter, wonderful, beautiful praise and worship leader, she'll debate you in a heartbeat. In fact, she loves it. She told me that the other day. I mean, she don't mind. She'll confront you. She'll debate you. She'll argue with you just like that. And it doesn't bother her a bit. Now, my son, he's totally different. He's more like me. You know, real quiet, reserved, stand back. And I'm like, I'm telling you, son, if one day you want to be a minister and pastor of church, you're going to have to overcome that, because God will put you in a place where you have to do it, you know, because I've had to do it. I don't like it. But you have to confront that conflict because of the potential of what it could lead to. It could lead to strife. You know, so confront the conflict. Number two is this, and this is really important, involve only those that are necessary. I know some of these are very practical points. But involve only those that are necessary, my friends, in seeing the conflict resolved. Boy, that's huge right there, my folks. That's huge. You can turn a small conflict into a war when you involve others that aren't necessary. Can I say that again? You can turn a small conflict into a war when you involve others that are not necessary in that conflict, in resolving that conflict. Listen. Please. And you don't need to call your prayer partners. Because really, to be honest with you, most of the time when we're calling the prayer partners, we're wanting to gossip instead of just pray. We're wanting somebody on our side. Involve only those that are necessary in it, and not everybody else, because you can turn a small conflict into a big problem when you involve people that aren't necessary in it. Wow. Y'all got it about as quiet as the first service when I said that, because we think we need to involve everybody. No, you don't. You don't need to involve everybody. If you're not part of the problem or the solution, you're not necessary. Wow. Proverbs 26 and 17. You grab a mad dog by the ears when you butt into a quarrel that's none of your business. You ever grabbed a mad dog by the ears? My. I'm afraid to grab my big dog by the ears. The writer of Proverbs says, look, man, when you do that, when you butt into somebody, it's like a business that's not yours. It's like grabbing a mad dog by the ears. Unnecessary communication of a conflict to other people can adversely affect their life in a way that it does not need to be affected. So you involve, if you want to resolve that conflict, go from conflict to peace. If you say something to someone that doesn't need to be said to, and you help determine the way they feel about somebody else, you want them to feel the way you want them to feel about somebody else, instead of letting the Holy Spirit speak to them. Well, that's unhealthy. It's also called manipulation. Go and look at your neighbor and say, Pastor Ken really loves you. He really loves you. I love you. Well, Proverbs 26, 20 verse 20 through 22, when you run out of wood, the fire goes out. When the gossip ends, the quarrel dies down. A quarrelsome person in a dispute is like kerosene thrown on a fire. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you want junk like that in your belly? Wow. And so you need to involve only those that are necessary in that, in resolving that conflict. I'm talking to believers here. Number three, if you want to go from conflict to peace, all right, it's about what's right and not who's right. It's about what's right and not who's right. Well, if you make it about who, that means it becomes about pride and ego. It becomes about what. If you want to see a conflict resolved, it becomes what's right in this conflict. What will help resolve this conflict? You know, what? Just an example. What if I would have? And I was joking when I really did think that thought about, you know, I thought, man, it would go cool here to say, I just wish you'd start cleaning the house instead of watching Fuller House, you know. And it was all a joke because my wife had already been cleaning and doing things, getting ready and everything. But in a conflict like that, how would that conflict need to be resolved? If that started a conflict, you know how the conflict needed to be resolved? Kenneth, you shouldn't have said that. That's what right would have been. That's what right wouldn't have been about who, it'd have been what about what. You shouldn't have said that. You were wrong in saying that to your lovely bride. Wow, almost 40 years, man, and I'm still loving her more today than ever before. You know, and so it's important that when you want to go from peace, from conflict to peace, that you make it about what's right and not who's right. In the book of Acts, chapter 15, there's something that takes place, and this is at the early church, the birth of the early church, and I mean, God's moving, people are being saved, churches are being built and planted and being built, and but then there was, and when you look at verse 15 of this passage of Scripture, it says, and certain men came down from chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas, Paul, that great minister of grace, all right, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, I mean, what did that just say? They had conflict. Because Paul and Barnabas were like, that's not true anymore. That's not right. We're saved by grace now and not by works. You don't need to be circumcised to be saved. And that's what these people were wanting to coming down there because, why? Because thousands, according to the book of Acts, thousands are getting born again and accepting Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And then some of these religious people come up and say, wait a minute, they've got to get circumcised. And so they come down and they told the wrong person that because Paul's like, you're wrong. No, it's by grace that you're saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. And Paul's like, and Barnabas is right there with him. And by the way, let me just interject this. Some conflict that can't be resolved is a separation. Did you know later Paul and Barnabas separated? They had a sharp dispute about something, and the Bible says they went their separate ways. So it happens sometime. But here Paul is, they're in a sharp dispute. They're in a conflict with these people. And so what do? The Bible says that they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. And so the apostles and the elders come together about this question on whether the new believers need to be circumcised or not. And you can go read the whole incident. It's really good in Acts chapter 15. And go to Acts 16 too. It gets really even better. It gets wilder, but I can't talk about that this morning. Take too long. But and so they go to what was the Jerusalem Council, they called it. And so who's there at the Jerusalem Council in this dispute? Well, all these elders, all these religious people. I mean, Paul's there. Barnabas is there. Peter is there. These are big wigs in the church, in this newly formed body of believers, the church that's spreading and growing. These are the pillars, the apostles. And then James, to top it off, James, the half-brother of Jesus, is there. Can you imagine being the half-brother of Jesus? Wow. Wouldn't that be something? Well, you are. He is the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says, by the way. You're not a half-brother or sister. You're a full brother or sister. This half-brother of Jesus is there, who is the pastor at the Church of Jerusalem. And so all of these folks are there, and they're talking about this issue of whether the new believers need to be circumcised or not. And then finally, James speaks up, and he says, this is how it's going to be. And what was he saying? No, they do not need to be circumcised. We're not going to put that yoke upon these new believers. We're not putting that on them. And he said, but what happened at that moment? Conflict was over at that moment. Now, some of the religious people that still wanted people to be circumcised, they were always out there, because that's why we have the book of Galatians and all. But you can go read about that later, where Paul's like, hey, who has bewitched you? You know, what are you thinking? That you were saved by grace and now you're going back to the law? You know, so he's pretty passionate about it. So you can imagine the dispute he's having with these people. And James speaks up and says, boom, this is the way it's going to be. Why? Because what did he do? He spoke what's right. And it wasn't about who's right. Here's what Pastor Jack Hayford, who just recently passed away, I call the Apostle Paul of our age, day and age. Here's what Jack Hayford had to say about that story. He said, the Spirit of God brought harmonious agreement among strong-willed leaders in the face of no small dissension and much dispute. Wow. Among all these strong-willed leaders, the Spirit of God brought harmonious unity there. Conflict was over with. How do you get to that place from conflict to peace? How do you get there, my friends? You've got to confront it. Then it's got to be about what's right and not who's right. And 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 says something that's really important for us. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And here's those next four words is what I want to focus on. And all of you. Can somebody give me the Greek definition of all? All. Peter said, all of you. Dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. Now, here's what we've heard often. We hear, yeah, humble yourself underneath the hand of God. Yes, amen. Glory to God. We need to do that. But, you know, oftentimes when I think of humility, I think of no problem humbling myself under God's hand. Most of us think of no problem of humbling ourselves to God, right? Because we know what happened to Satan when he didn't. God said, boop, you're gone. And so we're like, yeah, I can be humble before God. But look what Peter said here. He said, as you relate to one another, dress yourselves in humility. He was saying, humble yourselves to one another. You want conflict to be resolved? It's not about who, it's about what. And the only way you can make it about what instead of who is humble yourself. Is humble yourself in that. Be humble. And he said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. There it is. And at the right time, he will lift you up. Humble yourselves, my friends. Before I get to this last point, Stacy. It's the little offenses that the enemy uses in our life, and sometimes big offenses. You know, sometimes what's happened to us isn't so little. It's bigger. And it's not as easy sometimes, you know. And you know, we have to come to the place to where we trust God sometimes with resolving issues. And all we can do, what we need to do is humble ourselves. Is humble ourselves. You know, there are some things that need to be said that there's only one way to say them, so. If you have to always be right, it's very possible that you're going to have a lot of conflict in your life. If you have to always be right. And that's where humility comes in. Especially in a marriage. Oh my goodness. I had such a male ego with my wife. You know, I couldn't stand it when she was right. And you know, it turned out she was right about 99.9% of the time. You know, and I would be like, you know, but we have to humble ourselves. It can't be about ego. It can't be about pride if we want to go from conflict to peace. But if I have to always be right, I'm going to live in conflict all the time. Because whether you realize it or not, not everybody around you is going to agree with you. And you have to be willing to do life with people that even sometimes in a spirit of agreement that, you know, you've had a conflict and you ask them to forgive, they forgive, or you know, you need to forgive them. Especially in a marriage. I mean, listen, the first conflict you had with your spouse, did you just walk away? No, a lot of people do. They devalue the institution of marriage. Why am I sharing these things? Because some of them are pretty straight, pretty hard, because I want you to have healthy relationships. And I want God to move in your life in a way that He's never moved before. Because God is not done with America. He's not done with the world. God's pouring out His Spirit all over the place. And I want you to be positioned for that. But unresolved conflict in your life and my life can grieve the Holy Spirit because of where the place it brings us to. Unhealthy spiritually. Where we think we're being led by the Spirit, but we're really being led by our offense. So the fourth thing is very important if you want to resolve conflict, go from conflict to peace, is you need to invite Jesus into your conflict. What would Jesus say if He were right here to both of us? Boy, I wonder how many marriages that would save. I wonder how many squabbles that would save. I wonder how many nights on the couch or in the doghouse that would save. And before it got to that place, we would say, we would stop and say, okay, Jesus, will You please come into this conflict? And what would You have to say to this? What do You have to say to both of us? What do you have to say? What do you have to say? And sometimes I really wonder if we don't want to invite Jesus in because we know what He would say. And what He would say we don't like. And I'm just going to, I say this to help you. Especially to those that if you've been offended greatly and it's to the core and it's deep and it hurts. I say this because you need to know this, that Jesus just might forgive that person that hurt you deeply. I don't say that in a harsh way, but you need to know that. And here's why I say it, because you need to be at peace with it. Because if he does, and you need to as well. Because then if you don't, you're walking opposite of the way Jesus is walking. Because if He's forgiven them, you need to as well. And He just might, if they ask. I'm pretty sure He will. Just important. To bring conflict to peace, okay, in our lives. God wants to do so much more in your life. More. He wants to do more in all of our lives. You know. And how does the enemy stop it? Through conflict. He uses conflict. He uses those things to stop what God's doing. If it's unresolved conflict. Sometimes conflict leads to God's will. That's why we don't need to avoid it, but we need to handle it the right way. And so let me just, Jesus just might say this, okay? He might say this if we bring him into the conversation. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. In prayer, there's a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. It's from the Message translation, by the way. And that is Jesus speaking. He might say something like that. And then he might say something in, like in Matthew 5, 43 through 48. He might say, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that, Jesus says. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you. Let your enemies bring out the best in you. How many of you have found that to be true, that your enemies are every day bringing out the best in you? I do not find that out. I've discovered the opposite, in fact. It's like, Jesus, how could you say that? Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to flirt, to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. And here's what he's saying, your kingdom subjects, your kingdom of God people, now live like it. Is what he's saying, live like it. Don't you just love the message sometimes? Pretty plain. Now live like it. Live out, live out your God-created identity. Wow. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you. Wow. Man, invite Jesus in. And you've heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again. Why does toothpaste come out of the tube? Because that's what's in the tube, my friend. Not because you squeeze it. It's because that's what's in it. And what is this saying is that conflict is going to either bring out the best or the worst in us. And Jesus is saying, let it bring out the best. Let it bring out your God identity in you. Let it bring out who God created you to be in conflict, so that you can go from conflict to peace instead of from conflict to conflict and conflict to strife and conflict to division. Let it go from conflict to peace. Let it bring out the best in you. Confront it, my friend. Confront that conflict in your life. And I don't know what it might be that you know is there. But confront it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. I want to say this in closing, and just before I ask you to stand. You know, don't let the conflict bring out the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the slander. Let it bring out the tenderness, the kindness, the forgiveness that's in you. That's in you. what I'm going to be doing in just a moment is asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you about any unresolved conflict in your life. And I believe He will. And I had something in my life here several weeks ago that I didn't even know was there. And most of you know, participated in this event called Quest. It was a group of pastors, and they opened it up by you sitting around in a room with 15 other pastors. I was with 15 other pastors, and then all the coaches that were there. And they said, here's how they opened it up. I want you to share your name, what you do, and then what's your wound. And I'm like, what's my wound? And then they had worship. And because they knew the Holy Spirit was going to speak to you about a wound that was there that maybe you didn't even know was there. And it was incredible if you'd have been there and seen the way the Spirit of God moved. And I'm worshiping and I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit brought me back to something that, whoa, I didn't even know was there. And I love, again, my dad, a precious man, I love him, great guy. We spend a lot of time, as much time as I can together now. He's fixed to be 88 years old, taking fishing as much as I can. But back years ago when I was young, he called me a mama's boy. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment. He said, and you, because they said most wounds are father wounds, by the way. And he said, the Lord spoke to me at that moment. He said, that's why when you were enrolled in Bible school, instead of going to Bible school, you joined the Marine Corps, in which I'm so thankful I joined the Marine Corps and served our military. He said, but instead of going to Bible school, like, you know, it took you a while to get back around to that. He said, but the reason you joined the Marine Corps is because you're still trying to prove you're a man. Because your father called you a mama's boy all your life. And man, I never knew that was even there. But the Holy Spirit did. But here's what it led me to do. Is that when I got home and I prayed about it and I prayed for the right time to do it, I knew I'd said some things to my kids. They're adults now, live out on their own. But I knew I had said some things to my kids that would have caused a father wound in them. And so I prayed for the right time, right moment. Most of you know, all of you know, that's my daughter right up here on this keyboard. And I prayed for the right time, and sure enough, that right time came. We ended up at Cracker Barrel with Justin and his wife. And then Stacy, I can't remember if Jonathan was there. Jonathan wasn't there, but the grandkids weren't there. Lincoln wasn't there. And it was just us sitting at the table. And the Lord said, now. And so I looked at both of my kids that are around. Man, I did this in the first service. I'm trying not to do it in the second service. I looked around at the table of both of my kids because I knew I'd said some things to them. And I said, please forgive me of the father wounds that I gave you from things that I have said to you. Please forgive me. I was wrong. And I want you to be healed of all of those father wounds that are there because of things I said to you that I should have never said to you. I apologize for that. Apologize for that. Because, you know, there was that's a conflict that they were struggling. I know they had wounds there of things I'd said to them. And I just prayed to God. The right time, God, I need to. And when just a few days later, after that, I found out that there had been another pastor in town saying some negative things about me. And my first thought was, how can anybody say anything negative about me? I thought everybody loved me and liked me. I found another pastor in town. This is, you know, a peer was saying something negative about me. And no, I'm not going to tell you who. But I, in immediately. At first, I was like, that offense was coming. You know, and I was like, and then instead of being offended, I said, Holy Spirit, I really got to have help here. I need help. I don't want to, because I pray for the pastors of this community all the time. I call them by name. Call them by name and pray for them all the time, every week. I pray over their churches. And so I said, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't want to be a conflict in my spirit, you know, about this. I want to be in unity. And I just prayed. And the Spirit just began to move. And I just said, and so here's what the Spirit had me to do. I just started praying for that pastor. I said, Father, bless that man. Bless his life. Bless his family. God, pour out your Spirit upon that man. Bless the church that he pastors. God, I pray that he'll see these greatest days of ministry that he's ever seen in his life, Lord. Father, just open up the windows of heaven and bless him. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Because in no way did I want there to be a conflict in my heart about that person that I knew. You know, he didn't say them to me. He said them to somebody else. But I wanted to, in my heart, know that I wasn't holding a conflict there, an offense. And on, so I pray, oh God, help me, help me, help me. Won't you stand? And I just want to ask you today, and I want to thank you for being here. But I want to ask you to really respect and honor this moment right here. And here's what I want to ask you. It's very important, I believe, for your freedom, for your health, for your future, because if you breathe beyond this service, it's possible that you could have conflict sometime today or tomorrow this week. And I want in your home, on your job, in the church, and I want you to be able to go from conflict to peace, because conflict is normal, okay? Sometimes it's normal, and we need it sometimes to get to where God wants us to be. We need that conflict, but we need to go from conflict to peace, because the enemy wants to use also what God's trying to use to get us to this place. The enemy's wanted to use us to stop us. And so I just want to ask you this question. Every eye opened, everybody looking around, I just want to ask you this question. Those of you watching via our live stream, is there any unresolved conflict in your heart? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, is there any unresolved conflict in your heart right now? I just want you to be honest about it. Okay, close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit, and then just listen. Those of you watching via our live stream, just right there, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. Watch where you're going. But ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there any unresolved conflict in my life? Is there something I need to get right? And once you ask him, and if he speaks to you, just be honest. If he speaks to you, then ask him how you need to do it. Holy Spirit, how do I need to do this? How do I need to go about it? How do I need to go about it? With every head bowed, nobody looking around, I just want to ask you to take it one step further. I'm not going to ask you to come up to the front, but I am going to ask you this. Before God, the Holy Spirit, is there anybody here that the Holy Spirit spoke to you and you have some unresolved conflict that you need to get right? I want you to lift your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Something the Holy Spirit said to you, and you know he did. Any unresolved conflict, anyone else? Just give it a moment. Several hands went up. He'll show you how. When I told that story about my kids and asking them to forgive me for the father wound, had I been with them before that? Yes, I had. But it wasn't the right time. I knew when the Holy Spirit lets you know when the timing's right, and that was the right time to bring it out. The Holy Spirit will help you resolve those conflicts in your life because he wants you healthy and whole. Father, you saw every hand that was lifted. I pray right now, Lord, that you will help them in this moment. I know that all of us have conflict. Lord, we manage conflict. We help referee sometime conflict. Lord, and said while others are having conflict to help, Lord. It's a real part of our life. But God, I believe with all of my heart that you can bring us to a place of peace after conflict, that we can have peace. Father, that there's no offenses there, Lord, that there's no grudges, but that, Lord, we can make it through the conflict and we can move on with life healed and whole, Lord, loving people as you've called us to love people, Lord. And so every hand that was lifted, Lord, you know their circumstances. That's what's important. And I just pray right now, God, that you will begin to orchestrate what needs to happen in their life and that they'll listen to your voice, God, to do whatever needs to be done to settle the conflict, to get it resolved, Lord, to do their part, Lord, in getting it resolved, Lord. And Father, I just ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Put your hands together, give him praise, church. Come on.